You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
On week three, or four, this is the fourth week of the month, but the first week was a live stream from Oaxaca, Mexico, which, by the way, that kind of went kind of cool. It was wild. For those of you that were watching the live stream, of course, we started at noon because of the two-hour time change. Thank you for being patient, because Latin American culture is not as prompt with a countdown it was 10 o'clock their time. I think we started around 12:30 Eastern time, so you watched a very long announcement loop before that got rolling. But it was a great time, and what I was looking at the statistics, there were 125 devices that were watching that live stream, which, you know, unless everyone in your family is staring at their own phone, that means, you know, give or take, I don't know, maybe 2.5 people. So somewhere around 400 to 500 people were watching that on the first week, which is really cool. And a weird thing was that, I don't remember the stats. I think it was like 75% of them were from the United States. So like 25% of the audience was watching from around the world or in Mexico or I don't know. But anyway, it was really cool. But thanks for your patience with that. We know we had some volume issues. We had to do what we could. We got one feed from their soundboard, and I know you guys were cranked all the way up. Meanwhile, everybody that was in that live audience was looking for earplugs because it was so loud. It was really weird because they're like, their church meets in this like metal roof building with a cement floor. Like, who would lead worship in a building like that? But anyway, and if you're watching online, if you've never been here, we have a metal roof and a concrete floor. Anyway, so we are technically on the third week of the series, even though it's the fourth week of the month. And we're going to be talking about a topic here that we'll get into in a moment. But first of all, I have a question for you. I have a piece of card stock here. Which camera are we using so I can just show people at home? We're using this one. So there. It is a piece of cardstock. It is plain, and it's about this size. Any guesses on the value of this piece of cardstock? 13 cents? That seems like a lot, right? I mean, serious inflation. Supply chain issues. What did you say, what? 0.07 cents. Like, I don't know. What's a pack of cardstock, like a ream of that? It's like 527 for a ream? A ream. $6. And then so like if you take one is $1.20, and so then you math that down to this. So we're looking at like, say that one, what you think it's, how much?
I think it's like
0.07 cents. So like less than a cent, 1 cent. Okay, so not terrifically valuable. And look, there's even like smudges on it. Maybe that was my fingerprint. If it was like in the shape of, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix, you could sell it on eBay or something. But anyway, no, it's just a smudge. So it's not very valuable. So my question is, how much is this cardstock lottery ticket worth? Let's say it's a dollar. All right. It does say a dollar in the back. Good, Levi. Glad that you know all of that. okay, moving on. But let's just out of curiosity, if it's a losing lottery ticket, how much is it actually worth? What's that? Negative a dollar. Oh, that's a good perspective. Yeah, actually, because you lost a dollar. Now, what if this were a winning lottery ticket, and it looks like it could win 5 times 500 or 5,000? Yeah, 5 times 5,000. So I think it's 5 times 5,000. Levi, I don't play the lottery. How does this work? but let's say it's worth $1 million. Let's say the value of the win is worth $1 million. So, in the obviously redundant question, then how much is the lottery ticket worth at that point? $9,999. Because of the dollar you paid, minus taxes. So in the end, it's worth like $15. But older Pennsylvanians are benefited. So don't forget that. But the point is this: if you found out, let's say you play this and you're like, oh, it's not a winning lottery ticket. What would you do with it? You throw it out. Right. Now, what if you found out later that like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, someone cheated with the winning ticket, and turns out yours was the winning ticket? What would you do then? You would? Are you sure you'd get dirty? You might get a little smelly. Like, you would go and find it. And then once you found it, what would you do with it? Just, what? Cash it in. Okay, but let's say you didn't have a chance to do that because, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend and you couldn't do that till Tuesday. What would you do with it until then? Put it in a safe place. Right, yeah. Maybe even a safety deposit box. Maybe you just keep it somewhere that's safe. Because you would take care of it. Even though the actual value of the card stock is about 0.07 of a cent. Do you see the difference there? So what I want to talk about this morning is the way the church, not necessarily MC3, but the church in America has treated singles. As we're going through this series on familying, you did a fair job, familying, it kind of rolls off your tongue. Wait until we get to some of the other words later. There's words that they might not be real. But one of the things the church in America has done with singles has been, you know, yeah, you're kind of worth 0.07 cents. But when you get married, then you can serve, then you can get involved, then you'll be a real person, then you'll have value. And what is interesting is that biblically, if you think of a single this way, biblically they're actually worth more than a married person. Yeah, there you go. All right. They're actually more valuable biblically. And again, I'm not here to be like, you're such bad people because you're so mean to singles and all that. But I just want to kind of look at this from a biblical perspective and say, how do we as the church, how do we as our church, how do we as individuals treat those who are single and looking at it from a biblical perspective? And again, most times, singles are like a used lottery ticket, not worth much. But as God looks at them, there's significant value that a single person has. And as we've been doing with this series, we're not just looking at, and I'm going to be talking to singles as the first half of the point. But then we're going to be looking at how we as MC3, how can we come alongside of them? The first week we talked about the idea of the church is that we are here to help to love one another and to build one another up and to help parents raise their children because it's their responsibility, not the church. But how can we come alongside of the parents as families are developed? And last week we looked at dating couples and we said some very direct things to people that are dating, but also said, as the church, how can we come alongside those who are dating? So if you're here listening right now, watching online, listening to the point later, and you're like, I'm not a single, this doesn't apply to me. Actually, it does, because I want to look at what is it that we can do to help them. And so the point that I want us to look at this week is that we can support singles by celebrating them as greater than and not less than. And again, this isn't necessarily your fault or our fault or the church's fault, but just in general, in America, that's kind of the perspective, that married people, you know, they're the ones that really matter. Singles, you know, maybe someday you'll grow up and get to be a big person. And so I want to look at this idea of celebrating them and recognizing that biblically they are actually worth the lottery ticket, more so than a married person. So we're going to turn on the house lights here, the top button there. And we're going to be looking at a bunch of passages. However, we're going to be bouncing around for the most part in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this was a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He planted a church there, and Corinth had all sorts of issues. Their culture was really messed up. And we talked actually about some of that in a series called Spiritual, Not Spooky. And one of the reasons he wrote all the issues about worship in the church were because of some things going on in Corinth. But in chapter 7, Paul speaks to this idea of marriages. And I want to just be very clear. When you read the Bible, you should read it through with context. Don't ever just pull a verse out, because you can make it say anything you want. We did a whole series called Cropped and Cropped 2 about that. But you can pull it out, you can crop it, make it say anything you want. You should definitely read it in context. In addition, when Paul writes, Paul is sometimes a little scatterbrained. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is all written about marriage and singles. And he kind of goes, married people, oh, also but single people. Oh, yeah, but married people. Oh, yeah, but single people. Oh, wait, but married people. Wait, single people and widows. Oh, wait, let's come back. And he kind of jumps around. So I just want you to know that if you read through this passage, take some time. And actually, that's the last part of the discussion guide this week, is a chance for you to go through and reflect on all the things that Paul says to married people and all the things that Paul says to single people in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But I just want you to know, I'm going to be picking and choosing just because we're focusing on the single part of that today. Next week, we're going to be talking about marriage and looking into that. So just be clear, like, oh, he's just pulling them right out of context. I'm pulling him out of the larger context of that chapter. Please read it yourself and then determine if I'm right or wrong. Certainly. Like, the Bible is the standard, not Sean. So we're going to be in this chapter and we're going to be bouncing back and forth. But the first thing, as I said when we started, if you're single, I'm talking to you right now. I want to talk to you as a single person. And as a single person, I want you to know your value. I want you to realize the value that you have. And a single person, just to clarify this, is any person who is not married. So that could be, you know, you're 12, and it could be you. if you're 12, you're not married, okay? That could be someone who is in their 30s and never got married. That could be someone who is a widow or widower who was married and lost their spouse. That could be someone that was married and is divorced at this point, and so they're single. That category is kind of broad, and you're going to see we're going to be pulling some pieces from that. But I'm talking to you, and I just want you to realize that regardless of where you fit on that spectrum, you have value. And so the first thing I want you to see is that singles have been gifted. And this is something, again, the church has often looked at singles like this and not like this. And a single has actually been gifted. And in chapter 7, in verses 7 and 9, this is what Paul says. Now, this is Paul. And by the way, can I add a time out here too? Jesus never married. Paul never married. Just some of the examples that we have from the New Testament, kind of our standards, we're never married. And not that that's a problem, just saying let's just keep that in mind as the reality of how the church has looked at this. The first thing is that singles have been gifted. Paul says, I wish all of you were single like me. And we'll come back to that. He says, I want everybody to be single. He says, but you each have your own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that one. And the word gift here is the same word that is used for spiritual gifts that we talk about in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 12. The list of the different gifts that are given. And the root of the word is charis, or grace. And so the gifts that we have, the spiritual gifts, and that's a different topic. Again, we talked about them in Spiritual Not Spooky and during the gift series, which neither of them are on the slides that are there before and after. But this word gift means it is a grace of God. Like, if you are single, this is a gift. This isn't a curse. This is actually something that God has given to you for a reason, for a purpose, for a blessing, for something that is valuable. And again, oftentimes we look at singles, or even as a single, going, oh, when am I going to get to be married? Because I want to be married. I want to be married. I want that to happen. I can't wait for that to happen. And we kind of get a little bit disappointed until we get to that point. But Paul says, actually, what you have is a gift. And he says, one has this gift, another has that one. And again, here he starts going a little back and forth. I speak now to those who are not married. I also speak to widows, because, again, widows are not married. And we'll come back to that concept a little bit. And then he says, it is good for you to stay single like me. He's like, singleness is good. This is a gift. This isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing. And again, we'll come back to the idea. And we looked at this verse last week. He says, but if you can't control yourselves, you should get married. because it is better to get married than to burn with desire. And this is Paul's concession in saying, look, singleness is great, but if you can't control yourself physically, you need to be married, because marriage is how God designed sex. And that's the context for that. And if you weren't here last week, you can listen to that online at mc3church.org/familying, all one word. But it's this idea of singleness is a gift. And he says, if you can't control yourself, then get married, because not everybody has the gift. And so that's verse nine there. That's kind of the single test. That's kind of the test. Like, am I able to be a single? Well, if you can't handle it, then maybe you don't have that gift. So that's how Paul puts that. But he says singles have been gifted. The second thing he says is that singles have been spared. Singles have been spared. Yeah. All right. Looks like the PowerPoint kind of ends right there. You want to run that back there to them? All right. So, singles, and we'll just ignore the screen. We'll just kind of go ahead and do what you need to do back there, Isaac. Yeah, apparently the first couple slides made it, but not the other 30. So, anyway, singles have been gifted. Singles have been spared. And a lot of times we look at singles and again, thinking through, like, if you were a single or are, you're like, when can I get married? When can I actually get to the good things that I'm looking forward to? When can I have that relationship that I really want? And Paul kind of stops and says, well, wait a second. Being single has spared you from some things. Being single has kept you from problems. And in chapter 7, verse 28, which will not be on the screen here, verse 28, Paul says this. He says, I wish all of you... Nope, that's the wrong one. I just read that. He says, but, there you go, if you do get married, it is not a sin. So again, he's kind of going back and forth in verse 28. So if you have that, you'll have to look at it on your own. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. And if one young woman gets married, it is not a sin. Now listen, he says, however, those who get married at this time will have troubles. He says, look, you're looking forward to getting married. Marriage isn't always perfect. It's not always easy. There are going to be challenges in marriage. So before you start going, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I was married. I wish I was there. Paul says, well, hold on. You're actually being spared from some trouble. And he goes on and says, and I am trying to spare you those problems. So he says, again, however, those who get married at this time will have troubles, and I'm trying to spare you those problems. So he's saying, look, marriage is not all you think it is. And it's wonderful. And we'll talk about it next week. And we're not anti-marriage. But just keep in mind that there are some things that as a single person, you don't have to deal with that married people do. And that's part of it. And we'll see what those things are in just a second here. Just out of curiosity, is it working? Are we making progress, or should I just... Are we making progress? Yes. Okay. All right. Good. All right. So that eventually will be there. The third thing is that singles can be devoted. And that's not on the screen. But singles can be devoted. So singles have been gifted. Singles have been spared. And singles can be devoted. And this is kind of the next level of what Paul is talking about, is that, you know, there are some things that single people can do that married people can't. And in verse 32... of chapter 7. Again, he's bouncing back and forth. So verse 32 of chapter 7, Paul says this. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. Kind of going back to what he was saying about being spared from problems. He says, an unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking about how to please him. So he says, if an unmarried guy, a single guy, he can actually focus on God's work, on serving God, on pleasing God, on being devoted to God. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. And it's not a bad thing, but Paul is just saying, look, just be aware that when you're married, you now have to worry about not just yourself, but your spouse and your family. But if you're single, that's one less piece that you have to worry about, so you can spend more time being devoted to God, more time serving God, more time serving in the church, more time in whatever it looks like in your relationship with Christ and growing in that area. And then he goes on, in the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. So he says women, the same thing. An unmarried woman, a single woman, can be devoted to God. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. So Paul covers both sides, male, men, women. If you're married, there are some other things that are going to take up your time. Single people do not have to drive their kids to practice. People don't have to worry about shuttling someone back and forth to work. Single people can focus on being single and focus on their relationship with Jesus. And there isn't going to be a, hey, would you mind helping serve here in this ministry area at the church? Well, I can't because, you know, my family's expecting me at home. Well, if you're single, you don't have that extra level. You can say, yeah, I can serve in that area. So the idea is that singles can be devoted. Are we good-ish? We're getting gooder? All right. Gooder is a word. So anyway, as a single person, have you considered this not as a problem, but to say, okay, while I'm waiting, maybe you're waiting to be married, maybe you're not. But in this moment, have you considered, how can I serve God more? How can I be more committed in my relationship with Jesus? Because you have some freedoms that married people do not. And then finally, singleness should be used. I see it here. I can see it here. Click to the next slide. It crashed. Okay. All right. So why don't we work on restarting that? And the last thing is that singleness should be used. So let me just repeat all of them since you're not able to follow along. Singles have been gifted. Singles have been spared. Singles can be devoted. And then finally, singleness should be used. And here I'm jumping over to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. And we've looked at this passage a number of times in the last few series we've done. But Paul says this. He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. So Paul says to the Ephesian church, to everyone, to followers of Jesus, be very careful how you live. Don't be unwise, but live wisely. Make the most of every opportunity. And what I'm saying right now is that as a single, you should be using this time for the sake of God, for the sake of your relationship with Jesus, for the sake of serving. And I'll call this seasonal singleness. Maybe you don't want to be single forever, but instead of worrying and focusing on finding the one and being anxiety ridden about when is this going to happen? How is this going to turn out? Am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to get remarried? How is everything going to turn out? Say, well, wait a second. God has placed me here right now. So how can I make the most of this opportunity? Take advantage of the opportunity you're in right now. And don't miss the fact that God has placed you here in a valuable position. And in this valuable position, there are things that you can do. So singleness should be used, not ignored, certainly not as a cheap worthlessness time, but also not as a time you just kind of have to get through. Can't wait till I get on to real things. No, in this moment, right now, if you are single at 10:57 a.m. on, I don't even know what today's date is. It's like May something, 27, 28. On May 28th, in this moment, If you are single right now, if you are unmarried, God has you here for a reason and a purpose in this season, in this time. And so don't just ignore it, but make the most of these opportunities. Something happened back there, didn't it? Because everybody was like, what? Oh, yeah, look at that. This is the best resolution. Yeah, and there's the hard drive and the operating system. So I'll just repeat those four things again. Singles have been gifted. God has given this. Singleness is a gift. It's not something that's cast aside. Singles have been spared. There are things that, as a single, you don't have to deal with that married people have to. And again, we'll talk some more about that next week. The third thing is that singles can be devoted. So if you're single, you have the opportunity to be devoted to God and not distracted in a way that married people are. People with families are distracted that way. And then finally, your singleness should be used, because God has put you into this, in this moment, at this time, for a purpose. And we are to take advantage of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity, not as unwise, but as wise. And that's my instruction. That's my instruction to you as singles, is what is it that God wants to do in and through you right now? Not next year, not whatever happened in the past that got you to this point, but in this moment right now, how can God use you, and what can you offer to God? Because there's a lot, because you're valuable in this moment, in this season. So the point is that we can support singles by celebrating them as greater than, not less than. You're at Mifflin County Community Church, by the way, just in case you weren't aware. I'd love to take like 20 seconds. We're close, because I'd love to be able to start the next part before. But all right. Once upon a time, two singles walk into a bar. Oh, wait. I can see something. We're making progress there. Hey, there we go. Thank you, guys. Okay, so there's the point. We can support singles by celebrating them as greater than, not less than. And if you're single, you have value. Now, I want to look at, if you're MC3, which is all of you, if you're part of this body, whether you're in this building or watching online or listening, then you have a part to play in this. The lights just flickered. Come on, singles, what's going on here? All right, but as a church, you have a part to play in celebrating them. And so I want to talk about, what does it look like for us as a church to celebrate the greater than that exists in the singles? So the first thing that you need to do, we need to do, is recognize. So this is for you. If you're single, obviously this is how you can encourage those around you that are single as well. But the first thing is, we need to recognize that. And we've already been kind of beating this drum a lot. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, he says, I wish all of you were single like me. And he wraps up that section by saying, it is good for you to stay single. And it's important that as the church, we realize that our culture, well, I don't want to say our culture has all sorts of weird ideas of what marriage looks like, but our church culture in America has traditionally made marriage kind of the goal and singleness not. And so we are kind of working against that tide a little bit. You know, we've got a church culture here at MC3 that's, what, almost 13 years old. So we had the advantage of creating that without some of the baggage. But just keep in mind that there are things that we unintentionally or intentionally do, and we'll come back to that, that sometimes make it seem like a single person isn't quite as valuable. And it's important for us as the church, as MC3, to recognize that singleness is preferred, that they're not this. They're actually this biblically. Like every time, and this is going to sound so horrible as we go into next week, but pretty much every time that Paul talks about marriage, he's like, okay, that's fine. But be single, because singleness is awesome. Like, honestly, you read through it, it's like singleness, there's so much value there. And marriage is like, okay, fine, if you have to, that's fine. And there's a lot of things to married people that we're going to talk about next week. But the point is that it's actually a higher position than a married person. And we just need to remember that and just keep that in the back of our mind, because sometimes our attitudes, our actions, the way we look towards other people, the way we talk to other people, I don't mean like we're mean about it, but you know, like, hey, so you got married yet? Like, you found somebody yet? Like, there's a yet there that kind of has some implication there. And, you know, I don't know, for those of you that are married, when you got married, maybe you were that, like, would you stop, get off my case, okay? And finally, maybe you met that person. But we need to recognize that it's more valuable. And maybe we just need to change our perspective. Maybe we need to change our attitude sometimes. And I'm not saying, again, we're all wrong, you're all messed up. But just keep that in mind, that this is actually a preferred position. We need to recognize that. The second thing is to relieve. To relieve. We need to care for those that are singles around us. We need to care for them. We need to support them. We need to help them. And in James chapter 1, and we talked about this in the dupe series, which is on the slide right after in the announcement loop. James says this. He says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, specifically, James, the context here, he's talking about widows and orphans, meaning, you know, unmarried women who've lost a husband. Orphans are children without a parent. But in the broader context, especially in the time of the early church, widows and orphans had nothing. They had no other family. They had no other connection. They had no one to care for them. And it was easy for the other believers, the other Christ followers in the church, to be like, well, we've got our family. We've got all of our generations of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And it was easy to forget these orphans and widows, these people that don't have family. And so James was reminding, like, whoa, 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 this is what God really cares about, is that you are looking out for those that are alone in this world. Those that don't have the support of family. And it's not like emotionally alone, although I'm sure that's part of it. But just from a practical standpoint, I was just talking to someone this morning. We've got two incomes. The family has two incomes. That's a single person cannot, well, I guess they could have two incomes if they work twice as much. But basically, just in a married relationship, you have double that. We have way too many incomes in our family because they're all working now. And I don't see any of that income. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying? So there's just some very practical things here. And James is like, think about those people. Don't ignore them. Relieve them. Care for them in their times of stress and their times of need. I mean, again, we've got four kids. We've got a larger family. And my family is like, they're mostly, half of them are larger than me. And so I've got strapping young guys. And let me tell you what. Things that used to be hard for me like 5-10 years ago, not so hard. Pick that up. Move that over there. Dig that hole. You know, like, and dig that 6-foot-wide hole. it's not wide, long. But the issue is that as a single person, just some things we don't think about, they don't have someone to do that. And so it's our responsibility is if we're going to care for singles as a church, we need to relieve them when they're in distress, when they're in struggle, when it's just being there. How can I help you? Do you need something? Over in 1 Timothy, Paul says a very similar thing. And he's actually in 1 Timothy chapter 5 kind of bouncing back and forth about which people should be cared for and which ones shouldn't be cared for and all that. But there is one verse in verse 3 where he says, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for her. And it's the same context. Like, who is it around you? Is there a single person around you that doesn't have family? I know when we first moved here, I don't know if it's going to be offensive or not, but, well, that's not true. We don't have anyone related to us in this county. Almost all of you do. And then we found out that Kendra is related to Carla through marriage of an aunt or something like that. So we even do have that. But one of the things we found, and I'm just, you know, this is not, we've been here for 20-some years, so I think we're local at this point, I think. But one thing we found was holidays, and things like that. Like, everybody had family to go to. We didn't. And we ended up spending every Christmas Eve with the Beamers when they moved into the area, because they were from out of the area too. And we're like, hey, we can do that. And we still do this to this day. It's been like, 15 years of doing that. But just something to keep in mind is that there are single people around that don't have family. And so on a Memorial Day, and we're all like, yeah, we're going to have a picnic. We're going to go boating. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to play, cornhole, whatever. And then there's single people going, I don't have anything to look forward to except being alone. And so maybe one of the things we need to do as a church is say, who are the singles around us, and how can we relieve them? How can we look out for them? How can we take care of them when they don't necessarily have that same support? One of the things we said in our creative team discussion, it was actually kind of cool because we had some single people in the discussion with us on purpose. And, when you have a winning ticket, you treat it with value, you care for it, you take care of it, you put it somewhere. And we can do the same thing for singles around us. And one of the things they said is we do an adopt a single. Like, if every family just picks, hey, who is one person that I can come alongside of and support them and relieve them and care for them and meet and help meet their needs? Not you take over for them, but is there someone that you can do that you can adopt and help them feel like they're valuable, and being community for them, being a relationship with them? So that's the second thing, is to relieve. The third thing is respect, is that we can respect the singles that are around us. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this to the church in Corinth. He says, even so, the body, and we actually looked at this 2 weeks ago, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And he's talking about our physical bodies as an analogy, as a metaphor for the body of Christ, for the church. And he says, now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So your foot can't be like, you know what, I don't feel like I fit in here. Well, that doesn't mean you're not a foot anymore. You're still part of it. My foot is still part of my body, whether it likes it there or not. And foot isn't the best part of the body, I don't think. I mean, I wore sandals yesterday and flip flops and like washed the car, and you don't want to see my toes right now. Like, they're just nasty. But my foot can't say, I don't want to be here anymore. No, it's still part of my body. And then he goes on and says, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I mean, all I do is hear. I don't see things. Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. But he says, no, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So you can't go, well, because I'm not married, I'm not really valuable, I'm not really part of the body. No, you're still part of the body. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are part of the body of Christ, and you are part of the church. And as the church, we need to recognize that, because he goes on and says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? It wouldn't work. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And then he says this, but in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Yeah, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And as a church, we need to recognize that whether you're married or single, you're a part of the body. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, then, you know, we can talk about that. But as a follower of Jesus, you are placed in the body of Christ. You are part of his body, and God has given each of us gifts to use. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, but the ways that we can serve, and God has made it unique. And so for married people, we are, you know, again, as the church in general in America has been like, well, once you're married, then you can really get involved. And Paul's like, why are you not using these single people? They have so much to offer. And frankly, they're way less busy than you stupid married people. He's saying, take advantage of that. And as the church, we need to respect. Like, we can't go, well, someday. No, they are placed in the body right now, exactly where God wanted them to be, just as he wanted them to be. And so we need to recognize that. We need to respect the place that singles can, the part that singles can play in the body of Christ, in the body of MC3. And again, I don't feel like we're bad at this necessarily, but I just want to say, let's keep this mindset in front of us. Because I can guarantee that if we said singles are no longer allowed to serve at MC3, every ministry team would collapse. every ministry team would collapse. I can't think of any that wouldn't, honestly, because we have so many certainly students and others that are serving here. But we just need to respect the fact that every person is part of the body of Christ. And if you're a single going, well, I don't really have much to offer. No, you do have something to offer because God has placed you here and has given you a purpose. So we need to respect those that are part of the body of Christ. And one of the things I had written in the notes for the creative team is a lot of times, again, not necessarily MC3, but the American church has often put singles in like a waiting room. You're in the waiting room until you're married, and then you can serve. Then the doctor will see you. Then you can be a part of what's going on. And that's really not true. They're part of the body right now, which, this principle applies beyond, well, I guess they're still single, but it applies to any age that students, children, as if they are believers in Jesus Christ, then they are part of the body of Christ and they have something to offer. And maybe obviously as an 8-year-old, that would look a little bit different than someone that's, say, in their mid-30s. But every person that's a believer in Jesus has something to offer the body, and we need to respect that in general terms, but also specifically related to singles. And then finally, the last thing is reprioritize. Recognize that singleness is superior to married biblically. Relieve them, help them in the time of stress, in the time of difficulty and the challenges. Respect their role and their position in the body of Christ. And finally, reprioritize things. And here's comes from Acts chapter 6. And this particular passage was used to set up the speech series we did a couple of years ago about the life of Stephen. And again, you can find that on the announcement slide. But it says this in verse 1 of chapter 6 in Acts. It says, but as the believers, this is the early church, so the church has just kind of taken off. And there's a lot of people suddenly. I mean, 3,000 people came to Christ on the first day at Pentecost. And it was kind of just phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I think today is the traditional celebration of Pentecost. But it says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. And so you had two different groups. Jesus and his disciples were Jewish people. They were Jewish by birth. And so they grew up in a Jewish culture, the Jewish law, the Old Covenant law, the Old Testament law. And then Jesus died on the cross, and then the church started to grow. And then it started to grow beyond just Jewish people, but to Gentiles, which are non-Jewish people, or some translations use the phrase Greek. Greek or Gentile means those people that are not Jewish. And so there are two groups of people here. There were the insiders, the Jewish people. And then there were the outsiders. And that's what's beautiful about the body of Christ. That's what's beautiful about the church, is that it brought people together that had no business being together. But Jesus says, no, we're going to have unity in that. Which I guess is what I taught in the live stream from Oaxaca. But it says that their widows were being discriminated against. So there was a daily distribution of food because they were caring for the widows, those that didn't have the family to care for them, that didn't have the people that were there to help them with their needs. And so they were being given food regularly. But it looks like things were kind of falling apart there because the Jewish people, the Jewish widows, they were getting maybe more, or maybe they were getting some, but then the Gentile, the Greek, the non-Jewish widows were kind of getting left out and neglected. And it seems that the situation was not intentional. It seems that it wasn't intentional, but that just this is kind of what happened as this machine got bigger and bigger and bigger, as the church multiplied, as it grew and grew and grew. They were like, we're not really sure how to handle this. So the 12, which were the apostles, the 12 disciples, except for Judas, and they substituted another one in there. But so these 12 disciples called a meeting of all the believers. They got everybody together and said, we need to talk. And they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God. not running a food program. And they said, look, you know, we are like, this is what God has called us to be. As an apostle, we have encountered Jesus face to face. And we are here to spread that message. And we can't divert. We shouldn't divert from that important role. But it's important that we don't ignore the needs of the people around us, too. And so not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. And we will give them this responsibility. So he said, this is what we're going to do. It's not right for us apostles to be spending time on this just because we have been given a very direct mission and command from Jesus. But we don't want to ignore the needs of the widows around us, whether they're Jewish or Gentile. And so what we're going to do is we're going to select, just pray about this, and we're going to select 7 men who are well-respected, who are godly men, and we're going to hand this over to them. And then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and the teaching of the Word. And so it goes on in the next slide there. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, which launched into the speech series. Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So they said, okay, we're gonna set up a group of people, and this is kind of the beginning of what were called deacons. The Greek word is diakonos, which means to serve. These were the first deacons, or the servants of the church. And you're like, well, how come MC3 has elders? They're the ones devoted to the Word of God and to prayer, but not deacons. Actually, according to our bylaws and according to the way we have set things up, all of our ministry coordinators, our ministry team coordinators, are deacons and deaconesses. They're the ones managing the ministry teams while the elders focus on prayer and the Word. And I'll, like, this isn't just as a side note. That's not just a thing that we say we do. Like, we spend easily, we have about 3-hour meetings or so. We easily spend the first hour and a half on God moments, on what is God doing in the church, what are we learning about in our own hearts, and in prayer. And then, and maybe not even that much, then when we get to the end, we're like, quick, we need to do business. And so we discuss business stuff. But I just want you to know, not to be boastful, but just to say, this is an expectation that we take seriously. And so we are devoting ourselves as elders to the ministry of the Word. And the early church said, we need to do something about this. And so they said, let's appoint these people. They would become the deacons. And here's what happened. It said, so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem. And many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Like, this was wrecking everybody's world. Even the Jewish priests were converted. But the point was that when the early church, when the apostles, when these disciples saw that there were singles among them that were being neglected, they could have just been like, you know what? Sorry, I got to pray. Sorry, I got to go pray. I don't have time for it to help you right now. It's too bad. We're growing so much. This really isn't going to work. You know, have you considered, you know, calling that other church down the road? They're like, no, there isn't any other church. It's the only church that exists in the world. Okay, fair enough. But they said, they didn't say that. They said, we want to do something about it. So they took the time to completely reorganize and reprioritize how they did ministry. And later you have Paul talking to Timothy about what is important for a deacon. What is the role of a deacon? What should a deacon be, or a deaconess? What should their roles, the expectations spiritually? And so they took the time to reprioritize. And so the question is for us, is are we willing to do what it takes to make sure that singles aren't ignored, that singles aren't neglected among us? And I think we would agree, I think you would agree that saying, you know what, we're just going to focus on praying and studying the Bible. I don't think anyone would be like, no, that's bad. Like, no, we shouldn't do that. No. But this was so important that they said, we're going to reprioritize. We're going to shift our perspective. We're going to do things in a different way. And so they took the time. So the question is, what steps are we as a church willing to take? And maybe it's little course corrections. Maybe it's bigger things. What steps are you willing to take? Are you willing to shift your attitude, your mindset, so that we're more accommodating? I don't know if that's the right word, but more helpful to the singles around us. One thing that came up in our creative team meeting discussion was, and I don't know the answer to this, but, you know, what do our environments communicate to singles? And are we willing to make the changes? And I don't know. I mean, I don't think our environments communicate much, but if you're single and you're like, you know what, every time I come into the building and there's that sign on the door that says, if you're not married, you're not welcome here, like, that communicates to me that singles aren't welcome here. But and maybe it's, you know, we don't have a sign like that. We don't have a sign like that. Just kidding. But, you know, maybe there is something. You know, like, every time you say this, it kind of makes me feel like I don't matter as a single person. So if you have, if there's something you see like that, let us know. Because we want to do what it takes to value the people that the Bible says are more valued than married people, that are more important and that have much to offer. That, again, we've said, nah, you're only worth 0.07 cents. And God's like, no, wait a second. They're winning lottery tickets. And I think on the flip side of this, too, one of the things we can do to care for singles is respect that it is easy to burn out a single, or at least want to, because you're like, hey, you got no other priorities. Why don't you come in every day? Help with this thing. Do that thing. And I think that's another part of the respect. That's another part of reprioritizing to make sure we don't do that. But how can we celebrate the greater than these four things? We recognize that that they are considered more valuable to the church. We can relieve them during their time of struggle, of challenge. We can be there for them. We can care for them. Recognize whatever that looks like. Maybe, again, maybe it's something, a physical thing. Maybe it's a, you know, workforce. Maybe it's financially helping someone out when they can't quite make ends meet. But maybe it's just more of an emotional, supportive thing. Saying, hey, I know it's Christmas and you don't have anywhere to go. Do you want to come to our house? Just to be there for them. And then finally, respecting the fact that they have so much to offer as part of the body of Christ, single, married, young, old, black, white, precious in his sight. Like, that's the body of Christ. And so everyone has something to offer. And then finally, are we willing to reprioritize to make it happen, to do what needs to be done so that we can appreciate and care for singles? Because we can support singles by celebrating them as greater than and not less than. It's early. That's okay. I realize that's okay. So I'm gonna close in prayer. But maybe you guys are gonna like start crashing the computer every week on purpose. No, but I hope you don't. I do want to say this. I mentioned this to the prime group leaders in the discussion guide. Like, we're certainly not going, church, you're so awful at caring about singles. But I just want to say, how can we look at something from a perspective that's biblical and not just kind of go along with the way it's always been done and say, is this something that we need to change and we need to adjust? And if you're single, we're so glad you're here. We're so glad you feel like you can be a part of what is happening at MC3 and not ignored and not cast off. And again, that sign at the door that says you're not welcome if you're not married. You know, we're glad you still feel welcome here. And able to be a part of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And I thank you that as we look at the different heavy topics each week in this series, that it's not about my opinion. It's not about our opinion as the church. It's about your opinion and your perspective, and that we have your word, the Bible, these letters, these examples that we can learn from and we can grow from. And thank you for the singles that you have placed around us. Thank you for the value that they have. Forgive us, not necessarily our church, but the church, for taking something that you see valuable and kind of casting it aside and having them wait until they're real people. Forgive us historically for that, God. And I pray that as a church, MC3, that we can do our best to celebrate the role of singles, to celebrate the singles around us, that we can care for them, and that we see them as greater than and not less than, that we see them as valuable and not something to just push aside. And for the singles that are watching and listening and a part of this today, God, I pray that you would encourage them in what they have to offer, and the fact that even if this is just a season right now, it is a time that you have given to them to be able to devote themselves more wholly to you, to spend time serving you and avoiding some of the challenges that come with married life. And ultimately, God, in this season, I pray that you would help them to make the most of this opportunity, to use this season right now to serve you and to grow in you. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the beautiful thing that is the body of Christ, that singles and married and young and old, this whole thing is all united by one common thread, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.